Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks for joining us. The topic of today's program, energy conservation building codes. Republican Governor Susana Martinez campaigned last year on an anti-regulation platform and has worked to make changes in several areas of state regulation. In June, her newly appointed Construction Industries Division, or CID, commissioners repealed the New Mexico Energy Conservation Building Code, one that was developed over a 14-month period by a myriad of stakeholders during former Democratic Governor Bill Richardson's last term. The Martinez administration has argued the code would be too expensive to implement, and the CID is now developing another version of the code that will be adopted later this year. Joining me in the studio to discuss this today and to take your questions are Jack Millark. He is the state executive of the New Mexico Home Builders Association. He also served on the Code Development Committee under the Richardson administration. Tammy Feeblecorn is with the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project. She's also served on the Code Development Committee. Isaac Benton is an Albuquerque city councilor and an architect. We're also joined this morning by Dee Dennis. He is the superintendent of the New Mexico Regulation and Licensing Department. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining me. First, Tammy, let's start off with you. Can you briefly explain what the difference is between the International Energy Conservation Code and those guidelines that are developed every 3 years and state and local codes?
Sure. The International Code Council is a group that works on templates for codes in a lot of areas, and the International Energy Conservation Code is a template that's developed by that group, and a lot of states and local municipalities around the country adopt that as a base for their codes, and then they adopt them with some special unique circumstances for each city or state so that it becomes specialized for the area that they're going into. And that's the process that we did for the original and also the new New Mexico Energy Conservation Code.
So I have a proposal for us all today, because there are a lot of different codes that we may be referring to throughout the morning. So here's my proposal about how we approach them. There's the International Energy Conservation Code, which is this guideline that Tammy just described, and then there are the codes that the state designs and adopts. And then there are also, Councilor Benton, there are also codes that cities design and adopt and implement. So my proposal for how we kind of negotiate our way through the multiple different codes that we may refer to in the morning are that we've got the Albuquerque City Code that we may refer to. We could also refer to other city codes. And then we have the code that was implemented under Bill Richardson's administration and the code that is being implemented now under Governor Martinez's administration. Is everybody cool with that? Maybe that'll help our listeners keep up with us, because I know we have a lot of very experienced brains in the room this morning with respect to codes, and I want to keep our listeners up to speed with us. So thanks, Tammy, for that. Real quickly, if you have questions right now that you would like to put to our panelists this morning, we encourage you to call. The number in Albuquerque is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free outside the Albuquerque listening area, and that number is 877-899-5866. We can also take your email questions, and you can send those to callinshow@kunm.org. Mr. Dennis from the Regulation and Licensing Department, can you brief us on the motivations behind the repeal of the code that was developed under the Richardson administration that the Construction Industries Division that they repealed earlier this year?
Sure. Once we got into office, we started identifying what the cost of the code adopted by the Richardson administration was. And we identified that in communication with industry that it was very expensive to implement. So we looked at the opportunity to roll to the base, identifying the fact also that...
When you say roll to the base, explain what you mean by that.
We decided to go through the process and adopt the base 2009...
International code. Okay.
It was a code that is a standard, the new standard around the country. And if we compare that to our neighboring states who are still on the 2006 code and have not adopted the 2009, as well as some of the states still operating along the borders of New Mexico in the 2003 code, it made economic sense for our state to be competitive. Noting that the goal was originally to take the 2009 with the Richardson administration and take it to 20% didn't get there.
And by 20%, you're talking about a 20% reduction in energy use with 2006 as a baseline, right?
No, ma'am. I'm talking about a 20% increase in energy efficiency over the 2006 code.
Okay. So increase in efficiency as opposed to reduction of energy use.
That is correct.
Got it.
So taking a look, that 20% over our neighbors would make us at an extreme disadvantage. So it made sense to the economy to not to overregulate, but to get in line at the minimum of what the federal standard was.
All right. So this the idea being to accomplish lowering the cost of buildings?
That is correct. Making us more competitive with our neighbors. Okay. Made a good economic decision for the state.
Can you give us some numbers to kind of contextualize what kind of savings you see that home builders or people who are buying homes are going to realize by not having the code in effect?
We have actually taken a look at some production home builders that build multiple residences, and the increase from 2006 to the 2009 base energy code was about $5,300 per the quote from this firm over the 2006 code.
Meaning that to build a house, it would cost about $5,000 more to implement the energy efficiency measures that were in the 2009 code, with the code that was developed under the Richardson administration.
That is correct.
Okay.
That was for a specific size home. It was a 1,500 square foot home.
Okay.
So it's not a huge mansion.
Is that about average across the state, 1,500
yeah.
square feet?
I think Mr. Millar could answer that better, but I would say since they used that as a prototype, yes, it was.
Well, let's do that. Jack Millar from the New Mexico Home Builders Association, 1,500 square feet, is that kind of the template that's used for the average house in New Mexico?
It was a good one to be using for this project because it was a relatively simple house that we could value easily. And as you know, the sizes of houses that people buy goes up and down with the economy. So these days, smaller houses are more in vogue. But we needed something to use as a baseline. And in fact, the energy codes are very difficult to value. It depends on the building. Each individual building is different. Commercial buildings, residential, and we are talking commercial and residential.
Right, and there are different savings for different sectors of the...
Right. So we needed something that we could all recognize. It was a simple house. We put the plans out. That was the best we could do.
Right. And so that $5,000 that home builders who are maybe members of your association would have to spend in order to build homes under the code that was developed under the Richardson administration, how significant is that savings for people in your industry to not be putting that $5,000 worth of investment into energy efficiency?
These days, every dollar counts, and that's one of the problems we're having is qualifying people for any home. One of the builders told me recently that they have to actually sell a home four times before they actually get a sale because of the difficulties of financing.
What do you mean sell a home four times before you get a sale?
Because a sale is always contingent upon financing. And so it's very difficult.
Meaning incompletely sell five times before they finally get all the way through.
Yes, one to stick.
Okay.
So every dollar counts these days. And I've had several builders tell me that if this was 6 years ago, it probably wouldn't have even been a problem for us. So it's all about the economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're hearing from builders. Is that, Tammy, is that what you hear from consumers, people who are buying homes?
No, I don't think that the cost of this energy conservation code added onto a home price is what's going to make the deciding factor of whether someone can afford that home or wants to buy that home. I'd also say that I'm shocked to hear this $5,300 number. That's certainly a number that none of us have ever heard before. We did an extensive analysis in the 14-month development of the Richardson administration codes that resulted in a pretty agreed-upon number of between $800 and $1,200 addition to the base cost to get to the New Mexico cost. And so that's the cost that we've been working off of all this time. We have seen everything in the record on this case, and this $5,300 has never been shown to us before. So I would say that between $800 and $1,200 is the actual incremental cost between what we have in place now under the Martinez and what we had in place, the really good code under the Richardson administration code. And I don't think that amount of money is going to be the tipping point for anyone in a purchase of a home. And if, frankly, if it is, perhaps we should reconsider if that's a home we want to buy.
You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and I'm joined in the studio by Jack Millark of the New Mexico Home Builders Association. Tammy Feeblecorn is with the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project. Albuquerque City Councilor Isaac Benton is also joining us, and the Superintendent of the New Mexico Regulation and Licensing Department, Dee Dennis, is also in the studio with us this morning. Do you have questions about energy efficiency? How does energy efficiency in a building affect your home or your work? Give us a call and let us know. The number is 277-5866. That would be our pledge drive number. Slip into fundraising by accident. 277-5866 is the number to call to participate in the call-in show this morning in the Albuquerque area. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. How do you consider energy efficiency in buildings, and how does it affect your life or your work? Have you built a house or a building in the last few years? And if you did, how much did you know about energy efficiency codes during the process, and how did that affect your work building or planning to build a home? Councillor Benton, the city of Albuquerque has a code that's in effect right now that is different than the state code. Can you briefly describe what the city does with respect to what's in effect for the state, and then how the city decides and moves forward with the codes that it adopts?
Well, as you described, the state uses the IECC template, and the city uses the ICC International Energy Conservation Code template as well. And the city typically adopts the state code, but we have the right as a home rule community to adopt our own codes as long as they're not weaker than the state code. In 2006, the city council approved and the mayor signed the Albuquerque Energy Conservation Code. It's a two-volume code, one for residential, one for commercial construction. That was, in 2006, quite a leap forward in terms of energy efficiency compared to the international code and the state code.
Well, and you've explained to me that the code that the city has in effect now increased the energy efficiency beyond what the Richardson administration state code did, correct?
Correct. Even the 2009, that the code that Tammy worked on with and was adopted by
the
Richardson
state.
Administration for the state, compared to that, the city code that exists and is still in effect today is still a stronger in terms of energy conservation.
Great. Thanks. I'd like to take a caller right now. We have Kim calling in from Santa Fe. Kim, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Elaine.
Good morning. You're on the air.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Great. Well, so we've been talking about, we just heard from Councillor Benton, Albuquerque City Councillor Benton, talking about how cities have adopted codes that may be more energy efficient than the codes that are adopted by the state. You are with the Santa Fe Home Builders Association. Talk to me about how Santa Fe's codes differ from those that the state has adopted.
Well, Santa Fe adopted a green building code, which has an energy component to it, in July of 2009. This came about 2 years of work, and we looked at the National Association of Home Builders green building guidelines at the time and changed our code in Santa Fe, but based it on that kind of a template, much the way Tammy and Jack did on the International Energy Conservation Code. Our code in Santa Fe basically is 30% better than the 2006 code.
And by better, you mean increasing energy efficiency?
That's correct. In other words, we require a HERS 70, where a baseline code is presumed to have a HERS of 100, a home energy rating system. And our builders in Santa Fe have adapted. We have production builders in Santa Fe. As a matter of fact, that's about all we have going on in Santa Fe right now. Our affordable production homes built by a nationally publicly traded company. We also have a nonprofit that's building a fair amount of homes, and they're actually getting their HERS ratings in the below 60. So it is something that builders do need to understand as a learning curve, but once they've been able to do that, they can absorb the cost, and frankly, the $5,300 is outrageously false, in my opinion. Having been a builder myself and having built affordable homes that were getting HERS ratings in the mid-50s, we estimated that the added cost to our homes was about $2,500. This was back in 2007 and 2008.
Great. Kim, hang on the line with me for a moment. I want to take another caller. We have Corina in Albuquerque. And good morning, Corina. You're on the air. I understand you're interested in a more detailed discussion about what the kind of 20% or 30% increase in energy efficiency actually means. Is that right?
Correct. You know, what I said, is it more insulation? Is it better windows? What does it really comprise of? What does it make it 20%? More energy efficient, or 30%, or whatever it might be.
Okay, hang on with us for a minute. Karina, Jack Millark of the New Mexico Home Builders Association, can you kind of contextualize that question? What's an example of some of the things that builders might be doing differently under a new code, whatever the changes are, but what might be some of those items that increase energy efficiency in a home?
Any of the percentage estimates are estimates. And you have to understand that most energy use or conservation occurs because of personal choices, even in the home. And so all these numbers that we throw out are based on an idea that you take an R value of a window, which is a resistance to heat movement. How much heat is going to be lost, how much heat is going to be gained from that, say that window's on the west side.
So windows or insulation or, you know, what are
equipment,
some of the other things?
Efficiencies,
equipment,
or is another
talking about
big
appliances,
one.
So heating, cooling systems,
exactly.
That kind of thing. Tammy, do you have other comments?
Yeah, I would just say that one of the things that we're looking at with these energy conservation codes, and would get to Karina's question, is we want to build buildings that can be comfortable and affordable to maintain. So there's two aspects to that we look at with the energy conservation code. One is building a good structure, of an envelope of the building. So you want to make sure that the walls are insulated, the ceiling is insulated, the floors are insulated, the windows are good, and they're not going to let drafts just come straight through at you. And so that building of that shell gives you something that you can then insulate or make the air inside comfortable for people to live in. And so once you get that shell built, then you want to have efficient equipment that's installed in there, HVAC systems, evaporative coolers, things like that that are efficient.
So refrigerated air, swamp coolers,
heaters,
and heating,
you know, you want
furnaces
efficient heaters.
Or...
Right. And so these codes think about both of those things, the shell and the type and the efficiency of the equipment that you're putting in. And those two things combined are what we, you know, estimate these savings at. And so for the state code under the Richards administration, we went through a pretty thorough analysis and found that we were getting about 20% savings in residential and commercial. That translates for an average home to about $14 of energy savings a month, which is what people can keep in their pocket and really, you know, they can. That's something that you can really understand. That has other benefits like reduced pollution, those types of things. But for the average homeowner, that's $14 a month that you can spend on something else.
Got it. Karina, did we answer your question? Do you have a follow-up question?
Yes. Thank you so very much.
Thanks so much for your call. We really, really appreciate it. Kim in Santa Fe with the Santa Fe Home Builders Association, are there specific things that you do in Santa Fe building homes that might be different in other parts of the state where the types of homes that you build might require different features?
Well, yes. It's important to make a note here about the climate zones that we already have in our state. The Department of Energy has determined that New Mexico has three climate zones, zones 3 in the south, 4 in the center, and 5 up north. So, yes, in the zone 5, we spend much more dollars heating homes than we do cooling them. That's just the opposite in the southern part of the state. One of the things that was put in the New Mexico Energy Conservation Code that we have heard that that may be allowed to come back as a future amendment is the idea that we will look at climate zones in more detail for the state of New Mexico, and that we will take into account altitude in addition to latitude. In other words, we actually have some zones in our state, Eagle's Nest, Angel Fire, places like that, that are really zone 7, that are really more akin to southern Alaska and northern Minnesota. And when we think about that kind of detail, we recognize that that more things need to be done. More insulation needs to be required. Designs perhaps are changed. And the second thing that was also part of that code that we really want to see come back again is the idea that you can achieve compliance by hiring a HERS rater who can prove to the state that your energy efficiency is equal to or better than the prescriptive code that is there as the baseline. And one last thing I wanted to point out, too, is that...
Actually, Kim, I'm going to ask you to hang on just a second. I got to take a break real quick, and we have some other callers, so hold on the line. You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're hosting a conversation about energy efficiency building codes here in New Mexico. If you have a question and you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866, or you can email questions to callinshow@kunm.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Saggio's, homemade real Italian pizza, calzones, pasta, salads, and desserts, serving Albuquerque and the UNM community since 1968. Saggio's encourages support of public radio KUNM on Cornell Southeast across from UNM and at saggios.com.
KUNM programming is supported by the law firm of Rothstein, Donatelli, Hughes, Dahlstrom, Schoenberg, and Bienvenue, with offices in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Phoenix since 1976. For information, rothsteinlaw.com.
Funding for the KUNM Call-In Show comes from the New Mexico Community Foundation, Growing Our Future Together, on the web at nmcf.org, and by the McCune Charitable Foundation.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks for joining us. It's about 8:31, and we're talking about energy efficiency building codes in New Mexico and in cities across the state. In the studio today, we have Jack Millark of the New Mexico Home Builders Association. We also have Tammy Feeblecorn, who's with the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project. Isaac Benton is an Albuquerque City Councilor. He joins us in the studio. He's also an architect. And the Superintendent of the New Mexico Regulation and Licensing Department, Dee Dennis, also joins us in the studio this morning. Let's go to some calls. Michael in Santa Fe, you're on the air.
Hi. My question is about the putting the cost against the benefit. And Tammy alluded to this briefly, but I'm curious on the building industry side, the figure of $5,300 extra cost. One, is that to the homeowner buyer at the end or to the builder? Two, where did it come from, since apparently it wasn't part of the official record? And is there any way to verify that? And three, did anyone in the state, the current administration, put that cost against actual benefits and in terms of lower energy costs for the life of the home? Four, is there any financing mechanism that allows the buyer to get a credit, so to speak, for any energy savings that would result from a more efficient home?
Great, Michael. Thanks a lot for your call and for that bevy of questions. Mr. Dennis, can we start first with the first couple of questions that Michael had? Where did the $5,300 increase in cost for homes built under the Richardson Administration Code come from? What's the source of that number?
It was a document that I was able to view from one of the builders from the Home Builders Association. I don't remember the name of the firm.
All right. Jack Millark, you have some more information on that?
Yes. A lot of those numbers are, as I said earlier, theoretical. That particular number, the original number, came from a production builder, and production builders obviously have different costs than, say, custom builders. And so I know some of our organization's custom builders were challenging the number that was official even at that level, saying that we can't get products at the prices that they get. And he had asked if that was a retail number, and the answer is no, that was not a retail number. That was a cost. So
that number is the increase in cost to the organization that's building the home, not the increase in cost that's estimated for the sale price of a home.
That's correct. And I would say, as I said earlier, please keep in mind that any of these estimates are only on one building. They don't take into account any other buildings, and those kind of costs are very different across the state. Kim in Santa Fe mentioned that their market is very happy to absorb those costs, and they have HERS raters, which are third-party raters, they have all that infrastructure in place. A lot of it depends, do you have it in place, or are you in Silver City where you don't have it in place?
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Dennis. When you're looking at making policy for a state like New Mexico that, as Kim pointed out, has these various zones and there's lots of kind of different needs of different communities, how do you choose the numbers that you use to apply to a policy across the board if they just apply, as Jack said, to one building? How do you choose a number that can be like an average or something that you can use in a larger context to make policy decisions instead of on a case-by-case basis?
Well, what we do is we look at all the numbers. You know, we've looked at multiple numbers of estimates, as Mr. Millark says. And you have to take into account whether those are skewed by a particular individual or group, whether it's skewed by home builders who may not want this or home builders that do want this. We have to look at it all. I'd like to revert back to a point that Kim brought up. The code process is a living process. So if an
you mean the process of adopting a state version of the international code?
Correct.
Okay. I'm just going to keep going back clarifying
That's fine. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
So that is a living process. So even though the State of New Mexico Construction Industries Commission adopted what they thought was the best, they gathered input on adopting the International 2009 Code, they also realized that there are some other enhancements that can be done and changes that are specific to New Mexico that will make it very beneficial to New Mexico. You know, the Cloudcroft versus Alamogordo, they're right in the same zone, and it makes sense to have five zones. And the Construction Industries Commission and the Construction Industries Division is looking at making additional changes to these codes.
This is the process that's going on now, that the division is now looking at updating the international code a different way than it was updated under the Richardson administration, right? I mean,
well, let me back up and
let me correct that
for you a little bit. On June 10th, the Construction Industries Commission adopted the international base. So at that point, that
In place of the one that had been adopted last year.
By the Richardson administration.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
So that they have adopted that. Their next procedure is to take and look at what New Mexico enhancements make sense for New Mexico in cost and efficiency for our state. Log cabins, for example. The international code doesn't affect those.
I don't know. I left before.
All right, great. I'm going to pause you for a moment because I want to go to a couple of our callers. Lois, good morning, Lois. Is it Louise, maybe?
Hi, Elaine. This is Louise.
Hi, Louise. Good morning. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us this morning. What is your comment or question today?
Good morning. Well, I've worked with home builders over many, many, many years. And what I see is their, you know, kind of a common practice is that you have your basic home, and when you go in as a new buyer to purchase that home, they run you through a series of options to add upgrades, granite, what have you, special cabinets. These upgrades can go pretty darn high, and they make a nice little profit off of each one of those upgrades. So what I don't understand is why would $1,800 worth of energy efficiency that brings not only value and a certain branding to the home couldn't be handled any differently than one of the upgrades. It's just bailed in with whole part of the mortgage.
Jack, do you have a thought on that of how, you know, I'm thinking about homes as same way that you might go buy a car. It's like, do you want the regular seats or do you want the leather seats? Do you want the, you know, the custom 6-CD changer, or do you want the kind of stock stereo that's got a tape player that you have to put one of those adapters into? So there is this approach to homes of, you know, upgrade, you know, enhance the value of your home by putting higher quality products or features into your home. What is the difference between energy efficiency improvements and those other kinds of bells and whistles that Louise is talking about?
Well, remember that the building codes are the basic minimums that are required of all buildings. So in a lot of ways, you're not talking about the upgrades at all. The builders love to sell upgrades, of course, like everybody.
But why wouldn't builders love to sell houses that are more energy efficient?
In general, let me address that another way. In general, builders, contractors are like all businesses. They're looking for a market. They're looking to be able to sell a product, execute their construction practices, and have a reasonable chance of making a profit. And beyond that, there really isn't a whole lot of discomfort with the building codes. So from the construction community and the residential side, I would say we were not particularly unhappy with the what we call the Richardson Code. It just, as I said earlier, the economy got in the way, and if this had been several years ago, I don't think anybody would have even had a problem with it.
Let's go to Kim Sordick, another Kim calling in today with a question for our conversation. Good morning, Kim. You're on the air.
Good morning. I teach sustainable and green building design over at the University of New Mexico, and I can say pretty confidently that the $5,000 that we can't remember the source of is way out of line, because the national percentages of what green building adds to a house are on the order of 1-2%. But my question is, why does the Martinez administration think that we have to be competitive with other states? The building industry is not going to pick up and move to Texas, nor are people who want to live in New Mexico going to go away because of a $1,000 differential in housing prices. How can we even be competitive with other states when we're in an industry that is about location and that you do where you do it? You can't just go someplace else.
Mr. Dennis, maybe you can address that.
Absolutely. The Martinez administration is concerned about energy efficiency. We are not trying to do away with energy efficiency. The fact that we are not trying to compete, we are still a leader. We're the only state in the Southwest that has adopted the 2009 International Code. And in fact, we are seeing stress in our state in being competitive. A developer in the Hobbs area chose to move over the state line into Texas, where the energy codes are based on a 2003 code instead of the 2009, and it has caused some stress in the Hobbs area.
Let's take another call. Randy from the Santa Fe Community College.
Good morning. Yes, this is Randy. I just wanted to let everybody know we also do training at Santa Fe Community College. We actually work closely with Kim Shanahan from the Santa Fe Area Home Builders Association. We have a weatherization training center that includes energy auditing and all types of energy efficiency programs. Just want to let people know that are going to be in Santa Fe that on this Friday, July 29th from 5 to 8, we're going to be having a Green Gala fundraiser, but people can come in and see demonstrations. We've got a pressure cabin that is being finished as we speak, all kinds of training materials, and you can see ideas for energy efficiency. And a quick comment about all the things. I really think there's a bottom line reason for doing all these, and the upfront costs, I think, are minimal compared to the long-term benefits that you're going to get from the programs.
Let me ask you a quick question, Randy. In your educational endeavors at the Santa Fe Community College, excuse me, how does the change in state or city codes affect your work educating practitioners?
Well, we do update every time there is a change. We do update our curriculum. Of course, Santa Fe kept its codes despite what the state has done. So we do have classes that talk specifically to educate builders, contractors, architects, and others what those codes are, what the incentives are, that you can help to meet those, both for builders but for individual homeowners. You know, what are the different building materials, different things you can look at to, you know, include in a home. And so, you know, we do constantly update our curriculum based upon what is happening now. And then we also talk a lot about what we think will be happening in the future.
Great. Thanks a lot for your call, Randy. Let's go to Glenn from Ponderosa. Good morning, Glenn. You're on the air.
Good morning. I've got a couple of questions. My first one is, does the cost of increasing energy efficiency after the home is built get compared in terms of the cost of building that into the home when you do it?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question exactly.
All right, I've got a home that was built in the 50s, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you that it costs a heck of a lot more to increase the energy efficiency in my old home than it would to go out and have that constructed with those efficiencies in place during the building process.
So you're talking about upgrading an older home as opposed to building a new home.
Sure. So if you build one with a low energy efficiency from the start and then have to, after the fact, increase that energy efficiency,
right,
what kind of cost are we comparing that to?
Councillor Benton, you had a comment.
Yes. I think this is a really important question because it really gets to the heart of the matter. If we're going to dumb down our codes now and try to compete with some 2003 energy code in Texas, what's the long-term value of the consumer? I really feel that the Home Builders Association and the Martinez administration is really missing the mark here, because what they're proposing to allow to be produced is, frankly, an inferior product to what was proposed under the Richardson administration.
I mean, you're calling
the consumer,
a less energy-efficient home an inferior product. That's what you mean, right?
That's correct. And these homes are going to be in service for 40 to 50 years minimum. What is the consumer 40 to 50 years from now, or the person who inherits the house or buys it 40 years from now, with the energy costs that are going to be in place at that time? We know where energy costs are going. What is the value that's being provided to people? I mean, I think really the consumers are not so naive to think that, or maybe some are, but most are becoming much more cognizant of what the energy costs are going to be on these buildings. And I frankly think we ought to do something about labeling what these energy costs are and letting the consumer understand exactly what they're buying.
Well, and Councillor Benton, talk to me a little bit about what you experienced during the winter this year when we had such very, very cold temperatures. What were you hearing from constituents as far as how they were coping with the energy costs that they were incurring?
Well, I work in to a great extent in the affordable rental housing development industry. And those folks, even in a very highly efficient home that had just been completed, apartment in this case, but stick frame, similar to type of construction to our production homes, even with fairly efficient systems, some of these elderly people that had moved into a brand new apartment were really, really hit hard, astronomical increases. And imagine if they had been a less efficient building, they really would have needed some outside assistance.
Let's go to callers. I have a call from Gordon. Good morning, Gordon. You're on the air.
Good morning, Elaine. Followed you for years, and you have a great show.
Oh, thanks.
Congratulations. I just wanted to comment, two quick comments. First is the comment on one of the previous callers about upgrading, that about 30 years ago, I got a home around the university area that was a typical stucco with no insulation on it, built in the 50s. And there's several companies, one particular here in New Mexico, El Rey, that puts out an insulation that you can put over the exterior. It was very cost affordable, saved tremendous amounts of money on the energy. And so there's a lot of upgrades that you can do. And purely the design, the house I'm living in now, with a few simple cost-effective measures as far as solar building and stuff, has saved tremendous amounts of money over the long term as far as just a simple building design. So the low-hanging fruit of just making it, you know, airtight, which is simple caulking and stuff like that, is primarily the first thing that should be attacked on there. The more expensive stuff, like the photovoltaics and stuff like that, perhaps maybe for specialized cases, but just the low-hanging fruit of making it energy efficient as far as it's a tighter structure and less, it costs so little and yet gains so much over the long term. And
great.
That's essentially my comment. Thank
Super,
you.
Gordon. Thanks a lot for your comment. Let's go to Jan. Jan, I believe you're calling from Mountain Air. Good morning.
Yeah, I am. Thanks a lot, Elaine. In terms of, I want to comment on what the most recent caller just said. He can afford a house in the university area and can afford to do those upgrades. What it seems to go back to is, you know, do you put the cost on the consumer at the back end because the builder didn't want to do it on the front end? It seems like it's, you know, kind of the agenda from the Republican Party nationwide is we don't want business to have to pay anything, but it's fine if the consumer does. My comment is, I'm really glad to hear that the Albuquerque city codes and that the Santa Fe city codes exceed the minimum. And it was wonderful in the Richardson administration that there was a striving to be better than, not to be the same as Texas or Oklahoma, but to push New Mexico ahead, to be a little progressive, get ahead of the curve. We don't have a lot of water here. We do have a lot of heat here. We do have extreme colds here. It only makes sense to make the buildings more energy efficient for the long term. And, you know, yeah, you might cry that our children are going to inherit the debt, but are we going to have water for them to inherit? Don't we need to be ahead of the curve on being energy efficient, not just in terms of heat and cooling, but also water?
Thanks, Jan.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call this morning. Thanks very much. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the KUNM Call-In Show, and we're talking about energy conservation codes here in New Mexico. We'll be right back.
New Mexico Volunteers for the Outdoors is committed to improving hiking trails, wildlife habitat, and other facilities on public lands. In exchange for some time and energy, volunteers get to see our wonderful state. The cost is just time, and the reward is giving something back to the environment. For more information, go to nmvfo.org. That's nmvfo.org. A message from the tax-exempt New Mexico Volunteers for the Outdoors.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. It's 8:51. We're having a conversation today about energy conservation codes in New Mexico. We're joined in the studio by a distinguished panel. Jack Millark of the New Mexico Home Builders Association is here. Also Tammy Feeblecorn with the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project. Isaac Benton is an Albuquerque City Councilor. We also have Dee Dennis. He is Superintendent of the New Mexico Regulation and Licensing Department. Tammy, I think you were going to come in with a comment about what Jan just said about kind of future perspectives on buildings and energy efficiency. Like you had a comment.
Yeah, I think Jan's right on. I think one of the things that this administration has refused to acknowledge is that there is a long-term and a short-term cost here. And what we're saying with these energy conservation codes is that it makes sense when you're building the building, and for an additional $1,000, you can put in all of these efficiency measures that will save money on utility bills for the entire life of the building. That's when you should do it. I'll tell you, for $1,000, there's not a lot of energy efficiency I can put into my retrofit home from the 1950s that's not very efficient. I caulk, I can do things like that. But I can't tear down the stucco and put in all new insulation the way it's built. So it makes sense to do that when the buildings are being built. And there's a long-term and a short-term benefit. One of the things that the Richardson administration did when they were developing this code was really make sure that those costs were balanced out with the benefits. So from day one of ownership, for example, for a residential home under the Richardson administration code, that $14 net savings was a requirement. We weren't going to put any code into effect that didn't have a net savings from day one. And by net, I mean you're saving more in utility bills per month than you're spending extra on mortgage cost. And so I find it, interesting that Mr. Dennis said that they need to look at all the numbers and that they're concerned about energy efficiency. I don't see either of those statements as being true with this rollback code for the Martinez administration.
Let's go to Amber from Albuquerque. Good morning, Amber.
Good
morning, you're on the air.
Elaine, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Great.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I had a question for Jack of the Home Builders Association. And my question was, what changed between 2010 and 2011, obviously the administration, but that caused a change in support? My understanding is that the Home Builders Association originally supported the more efficient building codes, and then that decision was changed in 2011.
Jack Millark, I think that was a question for you.
As I said earlier, the home builders were reasonably happy with the earlier building code. What we get concerned about is that...
Well, did the Home Builders Association change its support? Did the Home Builders Association back out of supporting the code that was developed under the Richardson administration?
Actually, the home builders have thought that we should stay on the code we're using today. The energy code that New Mexico uses today for houses is a very good code. It's very advanced over the national code.
So when you're saying
that was
the code,
our original position.
When you're saying the code we're using today, you're talking about the code that was developed prior to the Richardson administration code.
Correct.
That we're talking about now.
Correct, and that was a very efficient code. New Mexico has always been on the forefront of developing energy codes, even back into the 70s, particularly for residential. we were concerned about some of the things that were being pushed in that code just from a technical point of view, and maybe I can talk about that for just a minute. Doing highly energy efficient buildings is like anything else where you're trying to push something, push the envelope. It's like with your bicycle, trying to take the last ounce off. The first ounce, the first three is easy. The last one is really expensive and difficult. It's the same with energy efficiency. We'd had a caller talk about changing the envelope of the house. That's probably where you would want to put the money if you had the money to spend, because it's the most difficult to change. But the thing we haven't talked about is some of the things that we might be required to put in, like highly energy efficient furnaces. They require a lot more maintenance than the furnace we're using today. So if you have an 85% efficient furnace that you don't spend any maintenance on besides maybe changing your filters once a year, compared to one where you've actually got to get pumps cleaned and you've got to get a lot of other maintenance done that may be $500 a year maintenance cost. Those are things that are actually in there that the builders are concerned about, and we don't talk about those a whole lot here.
Well, and my I want to take one more call real quick, but first I'm just – my understanding is that there has been – Mr. Dennis, there's been a lawsuit filed against the Martinez administration about this rollback of the codes. I think it's the New Mexico Environmental Law Center has asked for information regarding the justification for the change in the codes. I'm not sure if you can talk about that, but I wanted to mention it for our listeners so that that was part of the conversation this morning. Quickly, do you have a comment about that? Can you talk about that?
It is an appeal to the code, and no, I can't talk about it.
All right. I suspected you might not be able to. Hang on, Tammy. I'm going to take a call real quick, and then I'll come right back to you. Mark in Socorro, good morning. You're on the air, and I'll need you to make your comment as brief as you can so we can make sure we get responses.
Is, why isn't passive solar design part of the mandatory code? Because just by orienting your house correctly to the south, say, you can get huge energy savings. That's all.
Tammy, do you have a response to that about, I mean, you helped develop the Richardson administration code. Why would there not be a requirement for passive solar?
Well, I think one of the things that we want to make sure when we develop codes, and I think Jack would probably agree with me on this, is that we don't want to set that rigid of standards for what you have to do in your home. We wanted to provide options. One of the things that we developed for the administration code, or the Richardson administration code, was the New Mexico Applications Manual, which did allow for passive solar design and allowed you to trade off other things. So we wanted to make sure that folks had as many design options as possible under the code. It's unclear how that will be handled under the Martinez administration code, because there's been no consideration of that so far, at least in the public record, which is all we know.
All right. So as we look forward, the process now, Mr. Dennis, and if you can keep it short because we're up on the end of the show, but what is the process now for the development of the state energy conservation code?
The process now is that additional changes to the energy code will be considered at upcoming commission meetings and then go out to public hearing for public comment, whether those are acceptable or there is resistance against those.
All right. So there is a code changes being accepted to be considered for the next version of the code that the state will adopt.
That is absolutely correct. And I would just like to point out that this being called a rollback goes to reverting to something old and an old level. And we would have had to, even though it was in consideration by lots of groups, staying with the 2006 code. But the Martinez administration and the Construction Industries Commission decided that they wanted to be energy efficient.
The 09 international code was what was adopted, right? So correct. It's not as far back in time as the 06 code.
Correct.
Gotcha.
And it's still 15% more efficient.
Thank you. I'm going to have to stop you there. We've been discussing energy conservation codes on the KUNM Collin Show. Our guests this morning, Isaac Benton, Albuquerque City Councilor, Superintendent of the New Mexico Regulation and Licensing Department, D. Dennis. We also heard from Tammy Feeblecorn with the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project, and Jack Millark of the New Mexico Home Builders Association. Thank you all very much for your time this morning. If you missed part of the show, you can check out our podcast by going to KUNM.org. We can also take your questions and topics for the call-in show at callinshow@KUNM.org. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week at 8 o'clock on Thursday.